always an answer on how we arrive at our goal. And today, I want you to write this down. This is our takeaway for today. Write this down. It's this. God wants to give me a booyah moment. Look at your neighbor and say, booyah.
Booyah.
No, you got to say it like I say, booyah.
Booyah.
Now, what? No, you're a little late, brother, a little late. What is a booyah moment? A booyah moment is that moment where you get a glimpse of your future and you go, booyah, that is amazing. That, you mean that could be me? That's that moment where you realize that you're more than right now. You're more than the cake batter. You're going to be a three-layer cake. You're just, it's not just, it all ain't together yet, but God's going to put it all together, and he's going to lay you out, and everybody's going to ooh and ah over your life. That's a booyah moment. And God wants to give every one of us that. I want to remind you that if you received a flyer, that on here is a QR code. You get a free magazine to learn about God. I want to give that to you on behalf of Frontier Church. And I want to say to you that every Sunday, for those of you who are new, we have a class in the back to help you discover what your giftings are. Love for you to take that home with you, and it'll impact your life. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm ready for God to show me the way. Now, I don't know about you, but many come seeking to discover their purpose and their gifts in life. And I believe seeking is good. how many from up north? Anybody from up north? Okay. Anybody from West Virginia? Nobody but me? Well, I used to, in the summer, I'm born in Cincinnati, but in the summertime, my mom and dad would send us to West Virginia to summer camp. And every time we went to summer camp, it was amazing. What they would always do to keep us active, they would put us out and let us loose in this field. And in West Virginia, there was this giant green field. And their goal was simple. I want you to go out and find this plant. And now the technical name for it is Trifolium repens. Anybody knows what that is? Anybody? I'll give you $10 if you can figure it out. No, I won't. Okay. It is a, who said that? It is a four-leaf clover. Wow. We would go into a field. Dog, I ain't got no money on me now, but I go to the bank after service. Maybe check that envelope they gave me. I don't know. All right. Anyway, it is a four-leaf clover. And they would send us out, all these kids, like hundreds of us, into a field to seek after the elusive four-leaf clover. Now, you know what? We would all run out excited to find this little thing that had four leaves on it. And many times people were settling for counterfeits. They would run out in the field, and because you get a prize if you got one, and they couldn't find a four-leaf clover, because the odds are for every 10,000 three-leaf clovers, that's why they call it trifolium, there's one four-leaf clover. It's so rare. And so they would come back, and they would pick up a three-leaf, and they run to the leader and say, hey, a leaf fell off, but here it is. And we were all excited because there was such excitement in the seat. It's, you know, you got to ask the question, why in the world would they send us out like that? Well, number one, they needed us to get our exercise. And it was a way to build our muscles running around that field. But there was something that when you discover it, it brought such joy to us. And at the end of it, we realized there was a prize that we had been wanting more than anything else. Every summer, I enjoyed going to West Virginia. And I want to say this to you. God has also released all of us upon the field of earth. And he's sending us out to seek and find what we call the purpose, our destiny, our full potential. In the end, God will accept no counterfeits. You can't come to God and say, hey, you know, God, I know you want me to do this, but this is easier. I could just pick this up and go with it. No, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this, that today's lesson for you is I want you to understand God doesn't want you to settle for anything less than the very best he has for your life. He wants you to discover the prize of your purpose. He wants you to reach your full potential. I want you to write this down, would you please? You say, well, hey, God, why would you do this to me? Why would you put this desire in me? Watch this. He never puts a desire to discover something he does not want us to find. Write that down, please. He never puts a desire to discover something he does not want us to find. Every one of us, he's put something, a seek in us. And God puts that in every man, woman, or child. Now, I want you by a show of hands, I want you to raise your hand if this ever applied to you. Have you ever felt like there has to be more to life than this? Anybody? Raise them high. This is hobbit hands, and this is human hands. Hobbit, human. Let's go human hands, okay? Here we go. How many have ever felt like there has to be more to life than this? Look around. Okay, now watch this. Put your hands down. Second question. Have you ever thought to yourself, what is my purpose? Wow. Put your hands down. Have you ever felt like you were destined for greater things? Put your hands down. Will you take me out to lunch this afternoon? So close. Okay, no. Watch this. Has a thought ever crossed your mind? I wish I was destined for greater things. You know who that applies to? That's the person who says, I think I've run my course. There's nothing left. And they say, at least I wish I could have that. And I want to say to you something very simple, that wasn't you. When you ask the question about what is my purpose, when you ask the question, there's got to be more to life than this, let me tell you something. It was not you that stirred that thought. It was the God who wants you to discover and find that four-leaf clover. It was him saying, I want you to start to think in this way. There has to be more to life than that. He doesn't want you to settle on a three-leaf clover life, but he wants you to have that special four-leaf clover life so you can say, yes, I found it. How do I know this? I'm going to prove it. I want you to open up your Bibles, please, and I want you to look at Philippians 2 and 13. It'll pop up on your screen, and I want you to read it when we all get it up on the screen, if you would. Okay, go.
For it is God which works in you.
Stop. Let's try that again. Go.
For it is God.
Stop. Go.
For it is God.
Stop. Go. It is God. It is not your circumstance. It is not the feeling of failure. It is not what someone said over your life. It is God. Watch this. Read on.
It is working in you, both to will and to do.
Ooh. Let me tell you something. When you start asking that question, what is my purpose? What am I here for? There has to be more to life than this. It is not you asking that question. It is God working in you both to will, meaning he puts the desire inside of you to say, oh, I got to have more than this. There's got to be more to life than this. There has to be some more than just this. It's not about just getting up, going to work, eating, and going to sleep. There has to be more to life. And God's working his will in you to do what? His good. Did you not know that you're on assignment on earth? Did you ever think about this? Why were you not born in the 1800s? Some of y'all wouldn't have made it in the 1800s. My God. There is no NASCAR. Y'all would have had horse races. Some of us wouldn't have made it because there's no cell phones in the 80s. God said they won't make it. I got to put them right down in 2016. They need to be around that time. But let me tell you something. The reason he did that is because you have something to offer this generation. And not until you're gone is your assignment up. Oh, that's the heaviest thing I'm going to say today. I can go home right now. Look at your neighbor and take this finger. I want you to hold it just like this. Go like this. Come on. It's got to make it straight. Here we go. I want you to turn that thing in your neighbor's face and say, you are not done yet. Turn the other side. I want you to take that finger, point it in their face. I don't care if you don't know them. Point them in their face. We got ushers. Point it in their face and say, you are not done yet. Now, turn to them and say, don't you ever put your finger in my face again. Do that to me. I don't know what church you go to. Frontier Church. That was on purpose. Watch this, guys. Your time ain't up until you go to heaven. And you may think your assignment's over, bro, but it ain't over until it's over. So you may think, hey, I did so much in my life, I'm just going to rest. Rest where? You know, they say this word, you know, I'm just going to retire. Did you ever look at the word? Retire. Y'all didn't get that, did you? You don't throw away the tire, you retire. Put another tire on, get back on the road. Somebody say amen. Is that hard to get? I thought that was a good one. I wrote that all night long. So here it is. God is putting these greater thoughts in you to do more and better with your life. You know, and so he does that to me. He's putting thoughts of greater in you. So you got to ask yourself the question, if those big thoughts everybody has, why are we not consumed with like lesser thoughts? You know, like I get lesser thoughts all the time. Like, why do we drive on the parkway and park on the driveway? Anybody ever thought about that? Nobody? What about when you invest your money, you put your money with a guy called a broker? What? Got no sense of humor. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to focus on these big questions that he's given to us, because they are the ones that want us to focus and say, you know what? I'm not going to live life as usual. There's more than this. And over the next 5 weeks, we want to discover why God put this question in us so that we don't give up on the search, that we find that elusive four-leaf clover in our life. Here's what I want you to understand. Why do these questions about purpose resonate with us so much? Why do they seem to hit the soft point of our lives? Let me explain to you why. God puts the future in our hearts until we capture it. He will put the future into your heart for more until you capture it. Let me prove it to you. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. I'd like us all to read it together, please. All right? Let's go now. Stop right there. Now, that's critical. Most of us think the best of our lives is over. But here's what the Lord says. He says, I have made everything beautiful in its time. Who determines when it becomes the most beautiful? See, sometimes we think we've lived life and we haven't lived anything yet. God says, you think that what you've been living is ugly compared to what I got. The life I'm about to give you is beautiful in comparison. He makes everything beautiful, what? In its, watch, read on, go. Wow. This is amazing. God plants eternity, meaning our future, in our hearts. He puts it there so that we don't just give up on our dreams. We don't give up on our destiny. It's there, and we ask questions like, what am I here for? There's got to be more. So we continue to look and search. He puts us in our hearts even though the whole scope of his work, we can't know it. Why would he keep a portion of our future back? Because some of us would be frightened to death if we knew how good and how big it was. What if you knew you were supposed to change the world? Would you be scared if you had the most successful job, the best pension, and God says, but I'm going to use you to change lives? You might be scared. So God doesn't tell us everything, but what he does, he gives us a sense of the future in our own hearts. This is critical for you and I because we need to seek for that. I want you to write this down. Here's the point I said before, and I want you to write this down again if you didn't. He never puts a desire to discover something that he does not want us to find. He will always do that. I want to say to some of you here today, you know, that you're supposed to be writing a book right now. Some of you got it told over and over and over, write the book. Some of you got it said, I want you to start that organization that's going to help people. And you're wondering, well, maybe tomorrow, maybe next year. Some of you have said, you know what? God called me to minister in the gospel, and I think I missed my window. No, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't care that you delayed a little bit. He still wants his work done. He's not going to give up until you're done. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants you to discover you. In this first session together, I want us to discover that there's a need to seek this. We must want it with everything we have in us. We must desire to say, God, I don't want to just live the normal life anymore. I want to find that incredible life that you destined for me, that you put me here. You gave me the kind of mind I have so that I could accomplish it. What is that I need to know? And what God is looking for all of us to do, and the kind of attitude he wants us to have. God is looking for someone who is honest with himself and will say, I don't know how to get there. You know what? That's the first way to stop being lost. I don't want to start any troubles in the home, but how many married in here? Let me see your hands if you're married. All right, close your eyes because I don't want to start any trouble. Raise your hand if your mate has trouble asking for directions. Everybody's eyes are wide open like, no, you better not. I'm so sorry. I'll buy you lunch. All right. Now watch this. The reason we get lost is because we won't be honest. I don't know where I'm going. The moment we stop saying to ourselves, I got it, I got it, I know where I'm going, I got this, you will finally get to where you're going. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I see some couples laughing right now. Amen. Now watch this. How do I know this is true? In the scriptures, Jesus was kind of talking to his disciples, and he was saying to them, listen, guys, I want you to know I'm about to dip. I'm about to go to heaven. I'm about to take off. I'm about to go to the cross. It's about over. But listen, when I get there, I'm preparing a place for you. I want you to know where I'm going. You're going to go to, and you know the way to get there, don't you? Y'all know how to get there, right? And they stopped him and said, oh, Jesus, we don't know what you're talking about, and we don't know how to get there. Jesus was just rolling it out. He was like, no, hold on, man. We don't know. I don't know how to get there. And I want you to watch what Jesus' response was. And I want you to see the pattern here. I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 14, verse 5. In order to discover you, in order to discover your full potential, in order to discover your purpose, you've got to be willing to say, God, I don't know how to get there without you. Look what happens in John 14. I want to read it for you. In John 14, verse 5, it says, when he says, you know the way and you know how to get there, here's what their response was. He says, no, we don't, Lord. You got to hear how he says it. No, we don't, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea. He had the face and everything. No idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? And listen to what Jesus says in verse 6. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Wow. You know, here's what I learned about this. When we can't admit we don't know the way, we can't get the answers. But the moment we say, Lord, we don't know how to do it, he will reveal himself to you. He goes, oh, you don't, do you? Let me tell you who I am. I am the way. I don't know how you've been trying to do this. I don't know how you've been trying to handle this on your own. but you know, it's tough. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden's light. It's easy, guys. I am the way. I am the truth. Let me say something to this culture and our generation. We think truth is arbitrary. Truth is whatever anyone makes it. No, truth is a person. His name is Jesus. He says, I am the truth. You want to know what can put all the pieces together? You want to know who manufactured the world and who can fix what's broken? It's me. I am the truth. And then finally he says, you want to discover how your life can all come together? He says, let me tell you my resume. I am the life. I have everything you need to achieve everything you have in your heart. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. But the first thing we have to do is ask. And, you know, I want you to know this and write this down, that God, I want you to go to Proverbs 25 and 2, and I want you to see how God feels about what we should be doing. Because many people don't know to even go after it. But listen how the Bible says about God. This is from Proverbs in the Old Testament. It says, "In God, it is God's privilege to conceal things, and the king's privilege to discover them." I'm going to tell you, all you are kings and queens in here. And God will hide something like they did on the side of that field so that we can have the excitement to discover what God has called us to do. He has hid it so that we might look for it. And I love it because in seeking these answers, it does something to you as well as through you. God will change something inside of your life because God wants you to know that when you seek him and you truly ask him, you will see that he is real. Unlike any other religion in the world, the Bible says that if you keep my commandments, I will manifest myself to you. Unlike any other religion in the world, they say, do this, we need you to believe like this, act like this, do this. But this is the only one that says, you know what? If you want to know if I'm real, ask me. I remember a story of a lady hiker, and she was climbing up the side of a mountain. And she went to Colorado, big mountains out there, and she started climbing up the side of a mountain. And she was wearing contact lenses, and she's climbing up that mountain, and she's straining, and she's stressing. And as she gets closer to the top, you know, something got in her eye, and she went to rub her eye, and her contact lens popped out. So she can only see out of one eye. She gets to the top. She finally gets to the top of the mountain. She's standing there, and she sees all this beauty, and she can only see out of one eye. All that way, and can't really see anything. So she said, you know what? Let me try something. I have got nothing to lose. So she said, God, you said, if I believe, all things are possible to him that believes. God, I'd like you to bring my contact lens back. Now, I don't know about you. I probably would have never prayed that prayer. She's on top of the mountain putting her tent up. And another hiker comes up over the other side, and he goes, hey, and he waves over at their camp. He goes, did any of you guys lose a contact lens? She said, yeah. So she says, how in the world did you find it? He says, you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. He said, I was climbing up the side of the mountain, and I got really tired, and I said, I'm just going to stop right here. And he was breathing heavy on the side of the mountain. And he says, he looks at straight ahead on a little edge, and there was an ant crawling across the edge with a contact lens on his back. He picked up the contact lens and brought it back to the lady who lost it on the side of the mountain. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a true story. And what does that say to you and I? Do not lose your contact lens. But even more than that, it says, if you seek the Lord, you will find him. My goodness. What do you have to lose? let's continue because we're almost done. People say this, but I don't know if I have anything to offer God. I don't know if he can use me. And I want you to look at this verse, and we're going to kind of end out with this idea. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, and we'll get more deep into it next week, and we'll start answering the five questions. But I just want you to know that God, I want to invite you to believe. I want to invite you to trust me that God did this today in this series because there are some of you here today that don't even realize how powerful you are and that you haven't reached your full potential yet, but you will. You will. The Bible tells me, how shall they hear except it be preached? The reason I'm telling you is because he wants you to hear this, that you are more than what people see on the outside.
Amen.
I want you to read this verse. Paul was talking about those of you in this room, and he says, concerning when we receive Christ in our life, he says, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not just from ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, when he wrote and penned this, the jar may not look like much on the outside, but on the inside, you're priceless. I need you to get that it is your privilege to search the treasure that is in you. That you don't ever judge a person on the outside again. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That God's treasure is so vast, so big, so large, that I want you to say, with you plus God equals booyah. I'm telling you, you plus God is a
booyah.
Oh, y'all act like little, no, y'all ain't Girl Scouts. Come on now. I want to hear all the men in the place. You, no, wait. It's scaring me. Hold on now, y'all making me nervous. All right, here we go. I'm going to say you plus God, then you do it, okay? Here we go. You plus God equals
booyah.
Woo-hoo. Man. Let me hear the ladies, because you know, I don't know y'all can handle that one. Here we go. You plus God equals
booyah!
You are capable of much more than you know. And I want you to walk with me the next 5 weeks as we walk through who you are and discover that you have much more to offer than you ever thought you had. You have this treasure. It is a treasure that all you have to do is open it up and discover. Would you stand to your feet?